foundation that we have as believers. And I'm talking about something that is powerful. The foundation that we have as believers. You know, we have a complete redemption. You got to understand something. God didn't give you this thing that gives you like the ability to shoot blanks in the dark. Where you're always guessing if you're doing the right thing. That has nothing to do. That's religion. That's religion. God gave you a package which is the glorious, amazing document of the new covenant that is more powerful, more weighty. It's something that the Bible describes as something that is so weighty, an edifice so massive that no nuclear explosive can blow it up. Nothing that man can do, no events, nothing that's going on around it affects it. And it is continual, life-giving force, life-giving, life-giving force. It works. He put it in the earth to work for you, not to make it a guessing game. So that you can hang in there and hang on long enough until you either die or the rapture happens. Oh, we got to get rid of that thinking. We need to renew our minds. God vested in that covenant every promise of the old covenant and the new covenant, every promise that he ever promised, every blessing that he ever spoke on anybody, ever gave or imparted to anybody. All the promises, all the blessings, all the covenant rights, all the covenant privileges that we have as believers. You know, Paul said they came out to spy out our liberty. You have such liberty in that new covenant, in that covenant. It's not a contract, it's a covenant. And it cannot be annulled. Every blessing, every right, and all of the empowerments of the Holy Spirit are in that. Any one of us can go at any time and access any one of that because it's in there. That is our foundation.
Yeah. Amen.
And it cannot be moved. And it is a massive force for your edification as long as you're in this earth. There will come a time when even the Holy of Holies itself will no longer be necessary. We won't need all of that. You ever think of that? Because God will live among his people.
Amen.
Amen. And evil and tears and all that will be all gone away. It'll all be washed away. Oh, it's so good. Praise God. Foundation that we have in God is realized in several ways. I'll give you three of them. Excuse me. It's Phil's fault. I was singing real loud. Thank you for worship, Phil. It was wonderful this morning. Foundation is realized in several ways. First of all, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Second of all, it's found in the word of the living God that created heaven and earth and everything in it. It's also realized in the power of the new covenant, the authority of the new covenant and the unchangeableness of the new covenant. Okay, so the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says this, "For no other foundation can be laid, can anyone lay, than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." It is the person of Jesus Christ that is the foundation of the new covenant. He is unchangeable. He is immovable. He is fixed forever, seated at the right hand of God. That's the top of the food chain. It doesn't get any higher than that. Amen. Fixed forever. In him, it says in James. James grew up watching Jesus. And he said, in him there is no variableness. Right. nor shadow of turning. There isn't even a shadow of turning. He is the same. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't ever want to see any one of us ever say, well, God works in mysterious ways. No, he doesn't. He said exactly what he would do, and he told us exactly what to do. He set the standard for our belief. Don't say God works in mysterious ways. Well, to the world they are, but not to us. Because we have the kingdom principles that says, look, if you do this, this will happen. That's why Jesus said, if you hear what I say and do it, you'll be building your house on a rock, on a foundation that is stronger than anything. Oh, this is, are you getting good? I'm getting, it's happening. You see, time measures change. And Jesus is not subject to time because he created it. That's a concept some people just cannot grasp. Time itself, the passing, God created that. Where God lives, he had to create time for you and me. And time measures change, but he's not subject to time. Otherwise, he would be subject to change. And he's not subject to change. He's not affected by the passing of time. He is the sure foundation. He is our firm foundation. And you can trust in it. You can trust in him as your foundation. You can trust in number two, the word of the living God is that foundation just as much as Jesus, because Jesus is the word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. You know, God doesn't do anything in the beginning without realizing what he's speaking for, the end that he wants. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made. That was made in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And that word comprehended is translated in others as overcame. The darkness overcame it not. There is nothing, no amount of darkness. There isn't enough darkness in the universe to overcome one little light of word that comes from Jesus. Oh, I don't know about you, but that's a cha-ching. Take that, devil. All I have to do is say, as it is written, the angel's sword comes up. Oh, because that word has the power in itself to fulfill itself. And the devil knows it, and he will do anything he can to steal that word out of your heart and get you to change your mind and go against it. Then what happens? The word becomes powerless to you. Why? Because you gave up on it. God gave the word to you. He didn't give it to the devil. You need to steward that word. And that's the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. What does the truth do for you? That was two people. What does the truth do for you?
Set you free.
Say it again. What does the truth do for you?
Set you free.
It sets you free. Actually, it makes you free. It does something. It just doesn't let you out. It makes you so that you can stand in freedom.
Amen.
It's a creative thing. It makes you free. We could stop right there and just praise God for a little while about that. Amen? I could. Just praise God a little while. Written by the prophets. It was spoken. It was, the word of God was conceived in his heart. Formed by his tongue, released through his mouth, written by the prophets, so that you could read it and you could speak it for yourself. It's the same word that came from the heart of God. It's the same thing. It is unchangeable, inalterable, and it will not fail. Going into these battles, you need to know these things. the battles that we are facing. I mean, look, this country is turning into Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that's why it looks. I mean, I know it looks like the devil's winning. His kids are winning. But it also looked like Jesus was done too. But he was just beginning. So don't jump ship. Don't go overboard. Because the best things are yet to come. And I'm not just saying that by faith. I'm going to, this is the biblical pattern. That when you lose all hope in the natural, that's what Abraham did. There was no reason for him to believe that he would be a father, let alone the father of many nations. He was 100. Gentlemen, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Her womb was dead. There he goes. And yet, you know, they had something in Guinness World Book of Records, I think, the oldest woman who ever bore a child was 60-some-odd years old, 68, 69 years old. Well, no. The oldest woman was in her 90s.
Right.
Her name was Sarah. She laughed about it. It probably worked for her. But then number three is the new and everlasting covenant. That's part of our foundation too. Psalm 89 verse 34 says, my covenant, this is God's covenant. He says, my covenant I will not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth from my lips. Say, well, wait a second, he did change it, because that's old covenant, new covenant, he did change it. No, he didn't change a thing. He fulfilled the old covenant, and in the fulfillment of it, the new covenant was established. He didn't change a thing. It was a fulfillment, not an alteration. You know, only God can do this stuff. You know, I mean, think of mortal man since the time of Adam, the millions and millions and millions and billions of people that lived, all mortal. Which one of them could come up with resurrection as their intended result? What dying man could declare his end result would be resurrection? Only one. That's Jesus, and he is our foundation. He has launched a whole new life, a whole new way of life. Everything about our new creation and the things that belong to us as believers, our fellowship with the Father, number one, our fellowship with Jesus, our empowerments of the Holy Spirit, the guide of the Word of God that continues to feed us and nourish us from the grassy fields and pure waters of heaven in that Word. Are you hearing me? Yeah. That's how you got to look at this. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 first. Never mind. Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and realizing this, that my covenant I will not break. The new covenant was the first conceived in God's heart, right? It was spoken by out of his mouth. He won't change it or alter the thing that's gone out of his lips. It's not. The fact that the New Testament was sealed in God's own blood fulfilled all of the Levitical priesthood and all the blood sacrifices of the Levitical priesthood. It was validated by the resurrection of the Lord, takes us completely out of man's hands, puts it into God's hands. That covenant was between the Father and Jesus. We are the beneficiaries of it. We can't undo it. We're out of it. But we are simply beneficiaries and have been adopted as his children with that covenant to protect us. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 24. God, I just pray, Father, let me bring this out the way you showed it to me. Amen. Therefore, verse 24 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, remember Wayne's World? Not, okay. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. We just cracked ourselves up, didn't we? Definitely. I never saw the program. Oh. And what happened? The rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The end of the Sermon on the Mount. That's how Jesus ended it. And they were astonished. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine or his teaching. Wow. He knows how to make a point, but what was he doing? He started off telling them about the blessing. I mean, we see the blessing come and go throughout the whole New Old Testament. It was given to Adam. Adam blew it, I mean, royally. And then it showed up with Noah, and he was blessed, and Noah got drunk. And then we see Shem operating in it for a while, and it came and gone throughout the Old Testament. He came out with the prophets and so forth, and they walked in a blessing, you know, a portion of it. And then it came and went and came and went and came and went. Then for 200 or 400 years between the New and Old Testament, there was the intertestament where there was nothing. And then here comes Jesus, and the first thing out of his mouth, say, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for. What is he doing? He's introducing the blessing, how to walk in the blessing. Those are the Beatitudes, and then he proliferates on those in the rest of this, in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is how he concluded it. Great was the fall. So what was he doing? He was saying, now that you know these things, do them. Because it's not going to benefit you unless you do them. But if you do them, guess what? You will be standing on a foundation that will withstand every storm, all the rains that the world can throw on you, all the floods that come your way, all of the winds, the tornadoes and hurricanes and whatever, spiritually and in the natural, you'll withstand all of them, and your house will not fall because it's founded on a rock that is more powerful than anything this world knows about. It's the rock of Jesus himself. In fact, those modern translations that we have, it was founded upon the rock of Jesus. Har, he said on this rock, pointing to himself, I'll build my church. Amen? So don't just hear them, do them. You will be walking in the blessing, and it will be working for you. The word of God will take on a new form for you. Your life will take on a new form that is fueled by the word, and it'll work for you. Amen. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 35. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. So if you act on his words, you are building something that cannot pass away. It can be translated to heaven when you go, because you won't need it. But remember, we're only going to be gone 7 years. I don't know if these things ever occur to you, but they do to me. We're only going to be gone for 7 years, and then we're going to be back. and it's going to be cleaner. And the children of the devil will be destroyed. Hallelujah is right. Mm-hmm. So why don't we just declare this together? This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So let's zero in on a few things Jesus left us with here. Let's go back to verse 24. He said, therefore, whosoever, say, I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever?
Yes.
I am a whosoever. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, what are the next two words?
I will.
Good, Dwight. I will what?
Liken man,
which built his house upon a rock or the rock. If you have a good reference Bible, it'll say the rock too. The first step in receiving or realizing and experiencing that foundation on which we stand is start doing the word. Start doing what Jesus said. If he says, love those who hate you, you might as well do it. How can you possibly go wrong by doing what Jesus said to do? He died for you. He proved his love for you. He said he'd stand up. He says, I will liken you, and I'm going to go into that in a few minutes. I will liken you unto a wise man who built his house. How can you go wrong by doing the word of God, doing what Jesus said? Come on, tell me. How can you go wrong?
You can't.
Everybody say it at once.
I can't.
You can't go wrong by doing the word of God. See, but this passage of scripture, people avoid it. They just really avoid it. Because you know why? It reveals the fact that maybe they're on some shifting sand and they're not on such solid rock. They don't want to deal with it. But if you don't deal with it now, you'll have to deal with it later. And I don't want to have to go to kindergarten when we get to heaven just to learn these things that we could have done now. And the fruit of those could be born now. And we could bring God here. What you gave me, I've doubled it. I'm not making excuses like the guy who wrapped it up in a nap. I'm going to deal with this now. I'm going to fix this now. And we're going to get this thing going. Amen. So how can you possibly be going? Okay, so he said, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Now, verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, does it say I will? Mm-mm. And does them not, shall be likened. He doesn't even identify with the people who hear it and just don't do it. But here, but the verse 24, he identifies, doesn't he? I will liken him. You know, this is how God identifies with us. He watches over his word to perform it. He doesn't watch over our attitudes to perform that, our arguments. He doesn't deal with any of that. But what he does do, he watches over his word to perform it. Now, when we start doing his word, what does he do? He performs it. He makes it good. So, and this word liken is a really cool word. It's it's the word homoiaho. Homoiaho, it's a compound word. Homo means the same. I don't have to tell you guys about this. You live in America. Homoiaho. Homo means exactly the same. Iaho means to be made like, to assimilate. And this word assimilate, too, is another use of this word. Like your digestive system assimilates the food that goes into it, extracts the nutrients, and it becomes one with you. I'm getting somewhere with this. It means to be made in the likeness of or to become like. And it denotes a process that's going on. And it's the same word that's used in Hebrews 2:17, where he says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be homoiaho unto his brethren, just like them in every way. In fact, the Amplified says this, Amplified Classic says, so it is evident that it was essential that he be made like or homoiaho his brethren in every respect. The Complete Jewish Bible puts it this way. This is why he had to become like his brothers in every respect. Homoiaho, the process of becoming like something in every respect. This is cool stuff. I'll show you in a minute. Why am I saying this? Have you ever heard the saying, the more you do something, the more you like it, or the more you only get out of something what you're willing to put into it? Why is it? It's the way we were made. The way we were made, once we start doing something, we start kind of liking it. And the more you do it, and the more you do it, and the more you do it, the more you see you can do it, and it becomes a way of life for you after a while, or a system in your life. It becomes that way. This is why how we were made. So what Jesus is saying here, if you do what I say, and you do it, I will make you like me. This is what he's saying. Who is the wisdom of God? That's Jesus. Christ has made unto us wisdom. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 30, I think, or the last verse of that chapter. Christ, the wisdom, he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So he said, Jesus saying, I will liken him, I will make him the same as, or to be made like, because this is the, why did Jesus use this word? Why is this in the Bible? If you are a doer of the word, you become like him in every aspect as you do the word. Doesn't it say that in the Bible to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to become like him in all aspects? Throughout the New Testament, you see Paul did this. Peter tried a lot of things. But Paul assimilated this into his life, and he just did it. He became like Jesus. That you would become like him in every respect as you do the word. That you would become like the very word that you do. Who is the word? Jesus. Because you are fulfilling his word in you when you do it. You can study this out yourself and look into these Greek meanings because it's powerful stuff. This is something he is bringing up to us, up to this level of understanding that he wants to fellowship with us in. As you do the word, here's the thing. Being of the doer of the word is not something that we should be taken lightly. It is a powerful thing when you do the word. Like I said earlier, all the promises, the blessings, all the covenant rights and privileges that we have, the empowerments of the Holy Spirit are in that word. And when we start to do it, they start coming to life and manifesting in your life. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. I want to go into something here. Verse 21. You see, 24 starts off, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings, right? So when you see a therefore, you got to see what it's there for. That's what Brother Hagin used to say that all the time. Well, what's he talking about? Verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is doing the will of God? It's doing the word of God, because the word and the will are the same thing. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, see why people don't want to read this? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and kicked out devils and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Other translations say, you that practice lawlessness or work lawlessness. Therefore, whosoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will make him a wise man like me. Who is the foundation? Jesus is the foundation. You'll be standing on something stronger than the world has to throw at you. And if you're standing on that foundation, let me end with it just by saying this. If you stand on that foundation and you have that confidence in the Word of God, and somebody gets offended with you, it's not going to bother you one bit. No matter what they say to you, no matter how they scream at you, no matter what they say to others about you, it won't bother you one bit. Oh, they'll be in a tailspin and they'll get caught in that rotating little turmoil and they won't know how to get out of it. But I'll tell you what, once they start doing the word and doing it and doing it, they will become just like the words, just like the one who spoke those words. That's your way out. No matter what trouble you're in, no matter what condition you are in, if you just start doing the word and doing the word and doing the word will change you.
Right, amen.
Amen. And then, you know what? You can pray for those people who are saying all these things about you. And you can say, Lord, straighten them out like you did me. You know, reveal your word to them the same way you revealed it to me. And with the law of kindness, like the virtuous woman, she has the law of kindness in her mouth. And the law of kindness, and because you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in the same condition they are. So why put fuel on the fire and just, you know, now pray for them who despitefully use you, who are offending you, whatever. That's what God wants. And you know what? All of a sudden, God will liken you to a wise man, and you'll find out that you have a stronger foundation for it. Isn't that good? Isn't that rich? You see how powerful that foundation is? Don't step off it. It's devil's going like this. Come here. I got something for you. You know, you really want to smash that person, don't you? I mean, come on. You mean, look. Look what they said about you. Look what they did. And get you off of that foundation. You can say, I don't think so, devil. I'm staying right where I am. And after a while, he'll just quit. He'll just quit. He won't know what to do with you. Because you are getting to be one of God's perfect little works. Mature works. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that today?
Yes.
Praise God. If in all things it behooved him to become like you in every way, then he's also made a way for you to become like him in every way. That's what he's saying here. So don't get condemned over this. Say, you know what, up to this point? No, I haven't been doing the will of my Father in heaven. I haven't been. But from this point on, I can. You can say, I change that. I avail myself of the first principle of the doctrine of Christ, repentance from dead works. I have that right to do it. It's in there, and I'm availing myself of it, and I repent. And from this day forward, fact, let's all pray this. Father, in the name of Jesus,
from this day forward,
I'm walking in newness of life.
I'm standing on the covenant,
on the foundation
of the Lord Jesus Christ,
of the Word of the Living God,
and the covenant
that you put in place
to work for me,
to lift me higher,
and to protect me
from all the influences of this world.
And I'll stay in it.
And I'll praise you for it.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you believe that, release your faith in those words. Write those down. Carry them with you. And if a new day comes and you don't feel the same way, say, no, this is unchangeable. This is unchangeable. And I am adapting to that which is unchangeable because I can change. The Bible says I can. Amen. God loves you so much. And I love you. And I missed you last week. Believe me, we had family drama. So I really missed you. So I mean, not because of that, but because I didn't see it. But it helped.